You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Pacers fans, welcome into the Locked On Pacers podcast. We haven't done a Tuesday episode in a long time, but a lot happened yesterday, so we have to do it. As always, I am Tony East with the West Indianapolis Community News and over at 8.9 Seconds. And speaking of 8.9 Seconds, joining me on the other line, Johnny Mathays, the Pacers aficionado and biggest historian on the site. Johnny, how are you, man?
I'm doing well, Tony. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm also good, and I've had a busy day keeping up with all the Pacers news because I learned that their second-round pick's name is pronounced Alize, not Alize, and I feel stupid for not knowing that.
I don't know if you will, but I will.
And then after I learned that, the team is declining Lance Stephenson's team option at $4.36 million, and he will be a free agent next year. I guess my initial reaction was I wasn't like so surprised. I don't know how many of you guys saw iPacers blog story about it, but when Pritchard said the $20 million in space thing, combine that with him saying they were going to keep their top, quote, six or seven guys from last year, there were some signs that pointed to Lance maybe not getting that picked up. But I still think as a fan favorite, it was a bit surprising. Johnny, what were your thoughts right when you heard the news?
Well, I was surprised. I was just, you know, minding my own business, doing whatever I do on a Monday afternoon, looking out the window. I had just sent a story to one of your counterpart for editor at the website that was like an update on kind of where the Pacers were at roster wise with all this Thad Young speculation. And in it, I just assumed that the guard rotation was set. And then I looked down at my phone, had to do a spit take because I saw the update from Shams. Then I had to fire off and messaged our Ben Gibson and be like, oh, Ben, don't run that story. We got to rework it a little bit.
You got the tweet into our Slack so fast that he was getting it declined.
I know. I felt like I had a scoop on a scoop, which I guess I sort of kind of did.
Putting Wilfer's role of sharing tweets to shame.
Yeah, it was a world record for me, which is not much. I don't really have that many world records in retweeting, but that was pretty good. I was proud of it. But when it came to Lance, I was surprised because you looked at his contract and you think, all right, you got a reserve guard who, as you said in the opening, huge fan favorite. And he makes just over $4 million, which is a lot in normal people, but not that much in the NBA. And I thought he was safe, and I was wrong.
I was wrong too. I'm going to ask you a question, and then I'll start talking. Do you think Lance Stephenson is worth $4.4 million as a basketball player?
I do.
You do?
Just because, and I think it's
in a vacuum, not in Indiana. In a vacuum.
I would say a little less. I think it'd be worth a little less than that. I think a lot of the basketball players get overpaid. Like a lot of our Slack discussions, there's always free agents that people are excited about, and I'm like, I don't know about that. So that's a lot of money for so and so. But when it comes to a role player off the bench, and then someone who's in your rotation making $4 million. I think it makes sense. I'm guessing you probably don't.
Well, no, I had to ask it as two questions like that because in a vacuum, you know, Lance does a lot of not good plays and they're That's goofy true. And they change their own play and like he's a kind of a negative a lot. But the second question is he worth that to Indiana? And that's where the answer becomes yes, because, you know, he plays so much better here because I think it's a confidence thing. I mean, it's impossible to pinpoint exactly what it is, but it has to be something about his human nature. But he is the biggest home court advantage in the league of any player. And I think he's worth it to Indiana, but not in a vacuum. And that's what made it such an interesting choice, because now they felt like in a vacuum they could do better with the money. And the question is, can the money they save help them as Indiana?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And now I don't think this is a tangent, but it might be. but Lance... If this has always marveled me with Lance, because I've always liked Lance a ton. But that's what amazes me is what you just said, is that oftentimes he does stuff that is totally and completely detrimental to the team. Like, I don't know, taking 8 steps off an inbound in a playoff game, hypothetically speaking. But he's so beloved in spite of it. And I've racked my brain trying to come up with not just a Pacer, but an Indiana player, a wide spectrum Hoosier who would have done the same thing and have the same fan appeal. You know, does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, if you take Lance out of the equation and put in just some random guy, and there have been random guys. There have been guys that have been really talented.
Rodney Stuckey.
Steven Jackson was like that.
Yeah,
Steven Jackson, really talented, but hated by the end of his time. But Lance is impervious to it. It's really amazing.
Yeah, and for every, like, you know, there was that Dallas game this year where they ended up losing by 5 or 6. I can't remember. But Victor didn't play, but Lance was really big the reason they lost that game. And you can point to that and say, okay, look, like this happens sometimes with him. But then you point to the Detroit game in November that they literally won because he went off in the fourth quarter. And it's like, you know, what do you say? It's hard to really pinpoint this guy's value. But the fan favorite thing makes it so much easier. And that's why I thought, you know, if he was on any other team, I'd say he's for sure going to get declined. But here, I thought he was going to get it. And I really did. Even if he would never play a second this season, you know, just being on the team is huge. So I don't know if I was shocked, but I was definitely surprised, I think, is my pinpoint.
That's fair. That's what it's almost just, I can't imagine him being on another team.
I know. He stunk everywhere else. He was terrible.
In fairness to him, when he was kind of fat and out of shape playing for Minnesota, they really liked him in Minnesota. But then he conveniently got hurt and ended up saving the Pacers season last year, like 2 years ago, and Paul George's last year. Like,
what was your favorite non-Pacers Lance stop? Mine was Memphis.
Ooh, Memphis was good. Memphis, he was all sorts of aggressive. That was like what he had in Memphis. He still had the Lance edge, but he just didn't have, he like couldn't produce with it, but he had that Lance-ness to Lance. And then I think Memphis and Minnesota are the toss-ups. I don't know which one. Probably Minnesota, because he almost made a team and then got hurt at the exact right moment to not make the team and then come home.
Yes, and you say come home, and that's an okay enough segue to the next steps for Lance, which are interesting because he's not, you know, we're saying he's not worth $4 million to the team that he's worth the most to. Like, he's not going to get MLE money from any of these over-the-cap teams or anything. Right. And he's too old for like a bad or under the cap team to give him any sort of money. So his free agent market's pretty limited, but he's still like an NBA player. You know, he's better than rookies and fringe guys. So what's next for him is going to be very interesting. I'm not sure anyone outside of his hometown Brooklyn makes any sense for him from even narrative or basketball standpoint. And he only has narrative in Brooklyn. So I think that, you know, the Pacers could keep his cap hole, that $5.4 million, and re-sign him with bird rights after using their space, or B, just re-sign him for the minimum, like after they sign all their free agents. And I think, you know, it would kind of be embarrassing and a bad look, so I get why that might not happen, but I think the way that he is as a basketball player and the attachment he has, and he's, you know, he went to college in Cincy, like he's kind of a Midwest dude, like, yeah, I think he might stay for that. So I think his future could still be here. It'll be interesting to see how that goes.
I still think it makes most sense for him to be here, because I know the fear of it being a bad look, but I think who's gonna care? Like, if he's not going, there's so many teams he's not. It's easier to eliminate all the teams he's not going to than the ones that would make sense. Yeah. Like, you just did it, where Brooklyn, he was a legend in Brooklyn. The Knicks are
same thing. Yeah.
Yeah. But how much is he going to get? He's not going to get that much more to go play for them than he would return here. And if he comes back, if they wait, and what if they do? They go big fish hunting and they land a couple, or relatively big fish hunting, like not LeBron, but that next grouping, like the market smarts. They go into that area and land and get some better other players and then bring them back. Then the Pacers are instantly much, much deeper. And you include where Holiday is an improvement, we think, on Joe Young. Then you have Lance as that just strictly energy guy, come in, get everybody pumped up, and then bow out gracefully before he, you know, does something irrevocably stupid.
Exactly. So that, you know, that there are reasons that this makes some sense. And the fan favorite thing is really the only reason it wouldn't make sense, which is super interesting because I'm not sure any other player in basketball, like at his level of talent, has this kind of grip on a team. So it is super interesting, and I'll be curious how it goes down. I literally any option would not surprise me at this point.
I'm right there with you. It's interesting. It was such a curveball that I don't even know where it could go anyway. It could go anyway.
You know, like actual top five destinations for him is he gets the Nick Young contract and wins a title with the Warriors.
Yeah,
like, you know, it's not crazy.
Shocking. What's funny is that I have this mini theory that there's a few NBA teams that always offer the bad contracts. You know, they're just like, you look at their GM decisions and just always continually baffling. But most of those teams are well over the cap, and like Charlotte and Portland, like they always offer bad contracts to people, but they can't offer him a bad contract this time.
Yeah, that's true.
He's safe, and Charlotte's not going to offer him another one. They might, but they can't.
Yeah, it'll be very fascinating. Ultimately, my gut says he'll be back, you know, but we will see. I cannot make any official predictions.
That's fair.
But let's do some happy news. Let's do some happy news.
Oh yes, yeah. This is a good twist on the day of highs and lows.
Shooting guard news all over Indiana, except this one. It's kind of funny because it's news in the fact that it's official, but it's not news in the fact that we've literally known this since like January. But Victor Oladipo is officially the NBA's most improved player, which is super cool. Yes, claps indeed. So easily deserved. I don't know if we'll ever actually get to see a ballot of official results, but I would not be surprised if it was unanimous.
It had to be, right?
I mean, it's not fair because Capella's on a rookie deal. Like, he's supposed to improve a ton.
Right.
Dinwiddie, okay, yeah, he was a lot better than last year, but I think Vic's improvement was a lot more. Like, I don't know. I think it should be unanimous. He just, like, he went from a third or fourth option on the Thunder team to the best player and an all-star and an all-defense guy on a 48-win team. Like, it was crazy.
Yeah, he was all everything in Indiana.
Yes.
And he is the only – what's kind of funny is what ties him with Lance is Vic was the only person that stands in the way of Lance being the most popular player on the team.
Yes, a lot.
Like, that's – the Pacers didn't release or didn't pick up the option of the most popular player on the team because Victor Oladipo exists and won the Most Improved Player of the Year award today.
I wonder if the timing of the award show made them decide to do it today.
And they're like, oh crap, you gotta get rid. It's like when you give bad news.
It's like, yeah, it's PR. Yeah,
you always wait till like Friday so everyone's happy for the weekend. But this time they're like, we're gonna release Lance on Tuesday so that, or on Monday, so that the award with Victor tonight will sweep everybody away and they'll be happy.
Yeah, that's very fascinating. And there's not a lot. It's kind of funny because I thought I would have more to talk about with this, but I feel like I've talked about it the entire season, and like we all just knew it was coming. It's just official now, and you saw him with the trophy saying the Pacers are not going anywhere, and it was really sentimental. But you know, it's official. That's cool, but that's all there really is to this.
Here, kind of like I want to twist this on you. When did he win the award? You know, at what point in the season? Because it seems like all season he's won it.
That's funny. That's a good question because I remember they played the Magic. I've talked about this on this podcast quite a few times. They played the Magic in like their 10th or 15th game or something. And it was when the Magic were like 8-2. Do you remember that? They started off.
Yeah,
like,
they came out of the gate so hot. Yeah. It was them in Detroit. We're out in a blaze of glory. Yeah.
And the Pacers were like 6-5 or something, but they were leading the league in 3-point percentage. And Nate Duncan previewed the game or recapped the game, and he called it the Regression Bowl. And, you know, so you feel like kind of 10 games in, they're still like, you know, Vic's playing really good, but he's not this good. And then we got to like mid or late November, and me and Adam were talking about like, he's like playing like an all-star, and he's probably ahead of all these guys. But if he falls back a little bit, he's not going to be an all-star. I think for me, it was probably January when it was very obvious he was going to be an all-star that I was like, all right, this dude is legit and for sure the most improved player.
Yeah, there was a...
It took me longer than most people.
No, that's fair. I have two different thoughts on this. The first was, how many points per game would he average if the Pacers only played Oklahoma City and Orlando? Because he roasted both those teams. He had averaged like 35.
Yeah, holy cow.
It'd be MVP discussion. But my moment was, I was at this game. It was actually a really ended up being a bummer game because it was when Bogey chucked the game away against Rozier. That game
was sick though.
that second half when I was, because I was watching, I was there with a buddy of mine, and we were kind of joking, like, oh, you know, well, we got Victor, we're gonna come back. Like, he always brings us back, haha. And then he did it and got us, and the Pacers were winning at the point when Bogey had his brain fart. But it was there's the layup he had. I think it either tied the game or gave the pace of the lead late in the fourth when he was drove past two Celtics, and then he, like, Mr. Fantastic, stretched his arm around everybody and then just gracefully laid it off the glass with his left, and the place went nuts. And I was like, this guy's he's for real. Like, this isn't just a fluke.
That one was big for me too, because that whole game was too, because Kyrie was playing and he completely outplayed Kyrie that half. Like, he did. So obviously. And Kyrie's was obviously an all-star this year. So it was like, okay, he's clearly better than this dude who is largely considered an all-star. Like, that one was a big seller for me too.
Yeah. That game was crazy, 'cause it was into the game at that point in the season. I thought it was almost like a no doubter that Kyrie was a first or second team.
He was like an MVP candidate at that point.
He was. Yeah. It was the look how stupid Cleveland was trading away this guy type thing.
Yeah.
Ended up, you know, he got hurt, but he was Kyrie. That might be the peak Kyrie's been in his career was the beginning of the year with the Celtics, and then Victor outplays him, and the Pacers almost upset Boston.
Yeah, that was quite the crazy game until the sad ending. But yeah, he had the buzzer beater against the Spurs that really kind of, all right, here he is, and then the Bulls one happened, and then that game, and he just kept doing crazy things. It was awesome, and he deserves this. So this is cool. And now we have to see if they have now tied with the Magic, hilariously, for the most improved player awards with 5.
What a superfluous honor! Like, it's great, but who? It's Victor,
PG, Danny Granger, Jalen Rose, and JO.
Oh yeah, yeah. So. But of all the awards that you're going to win, I mean, it's, I don't want to knock the most improved player, but it's not exactly an MVP or something. It's like winning the sixth man and the most improved player is really cool to that one of your guy wins it, but it's not, you know, not.
No, MVP, let me tell you why it's kind of a meh award. One is because one of the Magic's 5 winners is Ryan Anderson.
Classic.
Who was good that year, but, is nobody now. And another is that former Pacer Aaron Brooks won this award, and he was a nobody.
Aaron Brooks was a somebody to Oregon when he was there.
he was a somebody in college. He was really good in college.
Yeah, actually, that's the thing. The most improved player, unless it's a real, like, a superstar wins it, or a star wins it. So Victor is a star, and he won it, so it's a big deal. But it's normally not a big deal unless it's your team who wins it. I think that's probably what I'm trying to go at. Like, I'm sure when Danny Granger won it, it was big. It was cool here. Like, oh yeah, our guy won it. But if you're in, you know, San Antonio, you're like, all right, whatever. Good for him.
That's true. That is true. This is so weird looking at Aaron Brooks. Sorry, this is such a terrible tangent. Like, he averaged like all these random like 9 to 11 point a game seasons, and then randomly in 2010 is like, yeah, I'm gonna go off for 20 a game.
Was that with Houston?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, he was awesome that year.
Really good.
There was a former Cub great, Edwin Jackson, sarcasm intended. He just signed on for his 13th Major League Baseball team. He's pitching for Oakland now. Like, Aaron Brooks was like that, where he played on every team.
Houston, Phoenix, Sacramento, Denver, Chicago, Indiana, Minnesota. He just keeps getting around, man.
Hey, if that's what it takes to stick around, there's always those guys that just keep. Dwight Howard's on that track right now.
Lance Stevenson is on that track.
He could be. He'll be crushing it for the Nets as a starting shooting guard next year.
So you just had your Lance opted out. What's next piece? What is coming out next for you? Also, that people can read.
Well, I got a I retracted my, hey, here's what the Pacers look like with Thad Young's situation. So I'm going to save that until Thad Young's situation is actually a real thing and not one. Executive decision on that one. And then I'm super excited. I got a little commemorative coming out soon on the end of this week, on the night of the Paul George trade for Victor Oladipo.
Ah, yes.
Was my first ever article for 8.9 seconds, was that night.
Really?
Yeah, very first one. So that's looking forward to reloading that one and ushering it back out there to the world.
That's good. I'm glad you're brave enough to bring up your opinions of that trade. When I gave the Pacers a C and the Thunder a B+, good for me. That's on that note, thanks you all for listening to this episode. We might have to do 5 this week because there's going to be a lot of other roster decisions coming up. But anyway, Adam will be on tomorrow doing his stuff about Lance. And I don't know what else he's going to do, but we decided to split him up because it's a big deal. Thank you all for listening and have a great Tuesday. And we'll see you tomorrow.